Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday.
You're smiling.
It is the Morning News with Nancy and Jason. The show is sponsored by the H.L. Bowman Plumbing, Heating, and Air, home of the Bowman who asks, do you want to try?
Can I be of service?
Now, by comparison, this is for the H.L. Bowman people. If your guy goes down, oh, I tore my knee apart. The Bowman. We need someone to step in.
It's pretty awful.
You can pick Nancy or... Can I be of service?
The H.L. Bowman.
Thank you for playing along. I do
All right, Johnny
that.
L., you've got to put your headphones on.
He's going to do it now?
And then he's got to put... No. We got something else for you.
Do we?
Get your microphone on. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
It's Friday. Guess what? It's Friday.
Or Friday?
Friday. What is going on a week from today, Johnny Lucas? And what is going on 2 months from today, Johnny Lucas?
Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, I get it.
And what is going on a month and 2 days from today?
Couple. Couple.
Yeah. No. Dead.
What was the first one again? I mean, I know what it is, but what were you trying to do here? In a week from today? Oh, you're going to tie a woman to a railroad track. He sounds like that old...
He sounds like that villain.
How about a... Or like that, maybe. Or, I don't know. That's good. Yeah, this is exciting. Do you know what that's short for? I just found this out. I'm a huge, huge Friday the 13th fan. I found this out about a year ago. Maybe two. Maybe 10. I don't know. It's K-I-K-I-K-I-M-A-M-A-M-A. Short for Kill Ma. Kill Ma.
Oh, that's a really horrible thought.
Have you ever seen the original? I won't give away spoiler.
I know you and your mother had some issues, Jason, but...
Well, going to movies I shouldn't have seen wasn't really an issue, but
like,
more something
like Porky's I'd... when you're nine with mom.
I wasn't even nine, I don't think. That's the story real quick. God. It was Movie City 5 in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Okay.
I say that because people go, yeah, that didn't happen. Like, I remember it was the first theater when you went down the hall to the right and turn, and the ticket taker guy who was at the door literally said, do you know what this movie is? And my mother's response was, yeah, it'll be okay. He'll be fine. And the guy says, okay. And then I looked at him and he just whispered, do you want me to call for help? No, he did the last part stuff.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, but the everything. And I saw Porky's, which is so inappropriate.
Just so awful.
It was inappropriate for me at that era. But if you go back, people don't even show that anymore because it's really horrible.
Just misogynistic and, you know, looks like possible sexual assault.
a lot of hardcore racist stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just ugly stuff. Inappropriate movie.
But horror film stuff. Kill, 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 ma, ma, ma. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Horrible thing.
But okay. Your turkey, John, was horrible. Can I hear that again?
No, it was fine.
Turkeys sound more like that.
You're
like
picky.
That's what turkeys kind of sort of sound like, I think. Don't they?
I think so.
But I think it
sounds like a turkey being slaughtered.
Well, that's what we do in America. This is a turkey right before it gets to your table.
Why? And then what happens
after we eat it.
And you go, yum.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. This is a weird start.
I know.
And that's what's going on, folks.
If only that's all we had to talk about. But there's a whole hell of a lot of other stuff going on. All right. Well, we had a commissioner's candidates debate for for Lackawanna County special election that we will get into.
Okay.
Also on the list of stuff, like, you think it's bad enough, the sparring in Lackawanna County. Now both Lackawanna and Luzerne County are openly arguing about extra police that it looks like are not needed at the airport. Whose side do you take on this one? We're going to get into that. Also, we've got polling out on the destruction of the east wing of the White House. The majority of people think it sucks. I use that word. Boo, hiss. No, not popular. Really awful. We've got the NBA. Somehow connected to this organized crime gambling bust, where Stephen A. Smith, well-known sports broadcasting talk show host,
and now political commentator of all things,
as
too,
well, yeah, yeah. Yes, says that Donald Trump is coming after the NBA and the WNBA is next. And overnight, Donald Trump has halted all trade talks with Canada because he's butthurt over Ronald Reagan's comments on tariffs that are in an ad that Canada has placed all over the United States of America. Do we have that ad?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here we go.
It's very interesting because now people are going to, and you know, the Reagan let me see. The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute is telling people to go listen to it in its full context, to which I went over and listened. And I'm looking at the comments and people are going, OK, but like that wasn't misrepresented at all by the Canadians.
So it's a Canadian commercial, features Ronald Reagan, and President Trump doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it because it's critical of tariffs. I mean, I think Ronald Reagan would also disagree with Donald Trump on immigration as well. In a very large way. But anyway, let's get back to this one. This is the ad that is playing across the U.S. And it was, I think Ontario is actually the one that placed, like officials from Ontario have placed this ad because it has to do with tariffs. As we know, this never-ending negotiation, which was supposedly still going on. Now Donald Trump has halted all trade talks with Canada because of this ad.
When someone says, let's impose tariffs on foreign imports, it looks like they're doing the patriotic thing by protecting American products and jobs. And sometimes for a short while it works, but only for a short time. But over the long run, such trade barriers hurt every American worker and consumer. High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs. Throughout the world, there's a growing realization that the way to prosperity for all nations is rejecting protectionist legislation and promoting fair and free competition. America's jobs and growth are at stake.
All right. So the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation, they learned that the government of Ontario created that ad campaign, and they did not seek nor receive permission to use the remarks, and they didn't like that it was edited, and they are reviewing legal options, they say. In the meantime, they're encouraging people to watch the unedited video on their YouTube channel. And again, a lot of people have gone over there to take a look at it. And you can watch it for yourself. I think it's 5 minutes or so in length. Okay. I see a lot of people who are going over there going, wow, not a Reagan fan. My God, it was nice to hear an articulate, well-read address. And another one. So to me, this unedited video supports the Canadian view. Another, people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Advice from a wise man, beloved in his country, respected worldwide. So a lot of people are going to this place and watching it and maybe getting more information. But the president was very unhappy and says that he is terminating all trade negotiations with Canada because of that ad. He is accusing Canada of trying to influence a pending U.S. Supreme Court case that could doom many of his tariffs, including the ones in Canada. So the foundation itself did not say what was misleading. They just tell you to go watch the whole thing.
Right.
But it looks like this was a bridge too far for him. So he doesn't, you know, he doesn't like it if someone calls him out.
No, he's not a fan.
Something. I mean, like, welcome to you've run how many elections now? It's going to happen. There's going to be things that people put out there that you don't agree with. It's wild how he's gotten more and more thin-skinned as time has gone on.
I want to say he hasn't, but it's still jarring when he gets that way. And certain things I've gotten used to. When he kind of turns and snaps at something or somebody, it still seems kind of just like, why can't you just go agree to disagree or whatever?
Right. No. Punishment. Must punish. We shall see. Anyway, right now, that has been terminated. And we'll see, because you know what happens. Everything old is new again. It lasts for a day, then it's a whole turnaround. So we can certainly talk about that. But right now, it looks like those talks are off. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff. We are going to get into the Lackawanna County Commissioners a while, because you have on the same, first of all, on Wednesday, Brenda Sacco is sworn in. They have their meeting that day, too, and discuss a lot of things.
Right.
A lot had happened and came out in the news. There were questions about, it seemed to me, very cryptic comments from the Lackawanna County Democrat Executive Committee Chairman Chris Patrick. I mean, the reason why people were wondering about Tom Welby and is he going to stay if he's there? Are they going to try to use him as a placeholder? Like, all of that stuff was just natural wondering and speculation, because Chris Patrick, in his comments to some of the news media, made it sound really nebulous what was going to happen next. Now, Tom Welby since then has come out to say if he's elected, he will serve the term.
They address it all in the debate.
And it is in the debate. We have some clips for you from that debate. We will play some of their comments because that happened last night. Right, we've been talking a long time about this vacancy in Lackawanna County for the commissioners. It has been filled with Brenda Sacco for a whole whopping, looks like, 11 days now. She has said that she would like to be in that position through the end of the former commissioner Matt McGloin's term, which would be early January 2028. But she's not on the ticket, any of them. She won't be someone you could vote for when the special election is held. So there was some question when she and Chris Patrick of the Democrats executive committee in Lackawanna County made comments about her possibly continuing in that position. And some people speculated. I'd say I did too, because were people who were wondering, because of some things that were said, if Tom Welby, for example, who was chosen by Chris Patrick for the Democrats to run, would he, if he wins, stay in that position, or could someone see him stepping back? And because this thing's been decided, Brenda Sacco is back in there. Now, she also can continue to fight the special election, and it looks likely that might be what happens, but they're saying they're waiting to see what happens and who gets chosen in this upcoming election.
Yesterday, one of the speculative points was, if Tom Welby wins, would he then resign and let her take the spot?
Right.
So that was a question going into the debate, and this is where he answers. He was asked point blank, like, will you serve your term if you win?
To be clear, if I'm lucky enough to be elected and the election is certified, I will be serving as county commissioner until the end of this term. And I believe that when this special election was dictated and mandated by the court, that overrides anything else. And with all due respect, if Brenda were to pursue it, Brenda's an incredibly talented and intelligent person. And if she chooses to pursue that, she certainly has every right to do that if she feels that she has that responsibility or ability to do that. Certainly that has nothing to do with me. That's her decision. But I think that a decision by any judge or anybody that's going to make a decision regarding this down the road. I think if they have the choice of a decision, or rather an appointment made by a committee versus an election made by the people, they're going to choose the election made by the people.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree with you, Tom Welby. Good for you. I always think it would be better to be something that the people get to choose rather than a person. All right, let's hear from Michael Cabellini, independent, who is running, was at the debate as well.
When we talk about the special election, I mean, you know, for any three of us to sit here and talk about it is speculation at this point. What I do know is that the special election was definitely decided on two separate courts. I actually sat in court and defended the special election myself. I was cross-examined by the Democratic Committee's attorney, and I fought very hard to ensure that each and every one of your voices were heard. So if it does come to the point where there is some kind of challenge, I can promise you immensely that I am here to serve as your county commissioner and to ensure that the voice of the people is heard with a free and fair election.
All right, let's get to Chet Murley, Republican, really quickly here as we're finishing out talking about this whole issue with, you know, what could happen next.
I wish Brenda Sacco well. On that question, I spoke to four lawyers today and I got three different answers. Yes, there will be challenges. And I do not believe that this fighting between this party is going to end with disappointment. I think it's just going to continue. And it just continually shows how Lackawanna County is broken. It's not about a Democrat versus Republican anymore. It's just infighting within the party.
There you go. It's so true. What we're going to hear from them next when we come back about reassessment, because that's a huge issue for people. And they were asked where they stand on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On that, one of the big issues in Lackawanna County obviously has been this reassessment, the process underway for a few years, and we are almost at go time where people will have to pay on these new assessed values. Or won't they? It's a big question, and it was a question that came up in the Lackawanna County Commissioners debate last night.
Will it be paused? Will it be stopped? Or will the candidates want it to keep moving forward?
Yeah, that's the question. This took place at the University of Scranton, by the way, the special election debate. All right, so we have the answer to that question about, we have the question and then we have the answer.
Well, the question is basically, are you going to stop it or pause it or let it go? Here's a response from an independent candidate, Michael Cappellini.
Our opinions don't matter when it comes to the reassessment process. It was signed into law in 2022 by President Judge Tom Munley. To stop and or pause the reassessment would be detrimental to the taxpayer, an already burdened tax bracket. We have to ensure that we move forward with the reassessment. It's a very imperfect process. Being a past realtor, I understand that very much so. My mother is a broker here in Lackawanna County, so we definitely understand how frustrated the people are.
Okay, so he's standing with the move forward with the reassessment. All right, let's get to Republican Chet Murley's thoughts on this.
Court orders could be extended or appealed. There's no question that the reassessment was needed, and there is a deadline, but that deadline could be pushed forward. And concerning the legal, again, I spoke to four lawyers. I got eight answers this time. The reassessment was rushed, and it's left taxpayers frustrated and extremely confused. The adjoining counties of Monroe and Schuylkill both had reassessments done, and that process, they knew what their tax burden was going to be. No one in Lackawanna County has an idea of what their tax is going to be. The reassessment, the prior reassessment, was down a fraction of what the homeowner's property was worth. The new reassessment is 100% of the value, supposedly. So taxpayers have a number down here and now a number.
So he's saying it can be pushed off because there's just been a lot of confusion and we need to give it more time. And again, legally, we don't know, as he says, eight different answers as a joke. But I do think people, when they go to these things, should turn their phones off. Meanwhile,
and don't bring your flute. God, did you really hear that
what
one?
The hell was that? Sounded like the Little House on the Prairie theme song. Okay, let's get to Democrat Tom Welby. His answer to the question about what to do about reassessment.
There's so much smoke and mirrors going on here, and the reality is our commissioners in the past were not responsible enough to order a reassessment in the last over 50 years, and they didn't do it because if they did do that, they were afraid they wouldn't be reelected. This reassessment that happened didn't come down because of the commissioner's decision or a court decision. It came down because of an agreement between people that were suing to have this this done after 50-plus years. And they came to an agreement with the county, and that was ratified by the judge. That was the court order. I wonder if the administration has gone back to the people, the Center for Community Justice, that came and argued this point, if we went back to them and said, hey, look at we have 114,000 properties that were assessed. 4,800 were appealed. If you have, according to Dr. Google, if you have an assessment that has gone over 20 years since the last reassessment, you expect 10 to 12% appeals. This is over 50 years. We have 4% have appealed it, and they haven't appealed it because they don't understand it.
You know, he kind of went on. There's so many questions.
So did he answer as to whether it should be delayed?
I mean, we skip ahead.
His new assessment is $206,000. Sam has no idea what that means as to what his new tax bill is going to be.
And that's his neighbor, by the way. Sorry, my bad.
That means as to what his new tax bill is going to be. And that's not fair. It's not right. And what's even worse is this administration did not help in any way whatsoever to help educate people as to what their new tax was going to be, to help educate people on how to fight for this reassessment and to help people to do that, to help them file that appeal. They say, well, just go and get three comparables. Do you think anybody up and down my block even knows what a comparable is? It's so wrong. They don't know where a comparable is. They don't know where to get it. We have so many people that have no idea where
they are. I think he has said that he wants to delay it because he thinks there's a lot of confusion about it. I hope I'm not misrepresenting that.
I think the last 10 seconds here.
People have no idea where they're at. And I think that a court would see the light of that. Also, 70% of those that have been appealed have been lowered. If 70% were wrong, what is right with this reassessment? We need to just slow it down. Just slow it down. And as Chet said, just stop it. And we have flatlined. We just continue it next year.
Right. Slow it down and stop it, two different things. Yeah. But yeah,
I know in the ads he has said that it needs to be delayed. By the way, just to like share the love that he had there, which was, I'm being having a sarcastic tone because he talked about the fact that elected officials didn't have the guts to do this. I agree with him. I mean, yeah, it was an unpopular thing, but just to be fair, there was a referendum that was also on the ballots asking voters to approve a reassessment, and that got voted down. So the people also didn't want to do it, but it surely should have been done way, way before this time. All right. So that was, there's a lot more. If you go online, you can find video of last night's debate if you need to get more information on the candidates. If you're going to the pumpkin patch or haunted woods or some kind of outdoor trunk or treat this weekend, it looks pretty nice. I mean, you know, 50 some degrees, but partly cloudy on Saturday. Only in the morning might we see a little drizzle. But Saturday's high 53. The outlook for Sunday looks absolutely fantastic. Mostly sunny and a high of 55 degrees. All right. I just want to mention, because this has been a huge story this week.
Thank you, madam.
And it is the demolition of the White House's East Wing. All right. Most adults, according to the latest YouGov survey, do not approve of the demolition. And look, the fact that they just go and do this without going through the proper channels is one thing. The fact that the president at first said it would be, you know, another structure, it would not be encroaching or, you know, impeding on the current structure, and then the complete destruction is just disgusting. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the satellite photos of this thing before and after. It's disgusting.
You have to find the recent ones because people are still going, who says he tore it down? Here's a picture, and it's old pictures. A lot of
I want to know like what these companies think about the fact. You know, it's one thing if you say I'd like to help out and be a part of this, as long as again things are done in the right manner. There is a list of companies, and again, I don't take his word for it. I would like to see how much money each has given. All of that, all those ducks should be in a row before one drop of the building comes down. And it's already, you know, it's always with this administration, shoot first, ask questions later. But here we've got this poll. Just 23% of those polled approve of the demolition. 53% disapprove. 24% are like, I don't know, because they don't pay attention. 44% of Republicans approve. Just 10% of Democrats do. Among independents, 55% disapprove. So the cost of the project, again, is another thing that it keeps changing. It was $200 million. Then it was $250 million. Now it's $300 million. And by the way, that kind of money, people are going, what is going to be inside of this thing to cost that much money? It sounds like a Versailles, which once you take something like this and add something like this on, people have said, is it now a palace?
No, it's a White House with a dance. Yeah, I see the point.
It's so
visually
crazy.
It looks different.
You know, most of the time, this is the business. This is the people's house. We've never been the design of the architecture historically. It's like colonial. This is not. It's not the garish, gold, ornate, ostentatious display of like overdone. And he loves that stuff, but there's no thought as to the integrity of the architecture historically. And also what happens after he's gone. This is not one person's ego or vanity, but it looks like it is. And again, people, you guys can bring up every other thing that was done there, and you will see that it went through all the proper channels. But you don't care, because you just go, oh, if it makes a lib upset, I'm happy. Because it's not policy positions that you have or making the world a better place or our country a better place. And none of this helps you or me or anybody else afford their groceries, afford their electric bill, afford their health insurance. None of it. It doesn't solve any problems. And he's focused on something that is, in the grand scheme of things, superficial. It's nothing to do with substance. Coming up at 8:35 this morning, we have a Friday beer buzz. We are starting to like some of these IPAs.
They're sneaking up on us.
They are.
They don't bite you as much as they used to.
No, I mean, obviously they have some that are really bitey because that's popular. It's just funny because like last week we were all in agreement. Delicious. We enjoyed it. That was a good
intimidating
one.
When you first get the whiff because it feels like it's going to bite you, but it doesn't. It's like IPA technologies through the roof. It's great.
All right, people, you don't have to freak out too much about having to get your 10,000 daily steps. Of course, if you do that, that's great.
I haven't been.
I had the last 2 days, I've been a lazy bum. I had a doctor's appointment and an imaging done, and just some stuff. And I just have been tired. I did not go for my long walks the last 2 days. My watch told me that I've had a change in my daily steps.
Like, you okay,
Ness? Shaming me. So yeah. Now today I must go extra hard. Anyway, new research now reveals that walking 4,000 steps a day may cut death risk by up to 40%. They looked at over 13,000 women over the age of 62. Women walking 4,000 steps once or twice weekly reduced their death risk by 26% and heart disease risk by 27% over a decade. Those walking 4,000 steps three or more days weekly lowered their death risk up to 40%. Now, those of you women exceeding 7,000 daily steps, you're decreasing your death risk by 32% and your heart disease risk by 16%. Why is it that it's a higher lowering of the death risk for 4,000 as opposed to 7,000? I'm confused. But anyway, they say it's really about consistency. Build it into your daily lifestyle. Be mindful of it. And they tracked participants for 11 years. This was for older women, again, in this study, over the age of 62. Really, really good. Now, 4,000. Don't freak yourself out if you're struggling with 10.
I'm struggling with like 1,000.
Oh, I don't think
so.
Thank
God I'm not an older woman, because that's what that study
is
for.
Your office is on the other end of the building. You're getting some steps in. But yeah, you should also be walking more if you're not getting 4,000.
Every once in a while, I will look at my phone because the app is like built in with the iPhone. And if I open it up, it kind of looks at me like, oh, so you know I'm a thing. Yeah, I didn't know you cared. I'm like,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim, yeah, I'm here.
Looks like a nice weekend if you have outdoor activities. Maybe you're heading to like, you know, a haunted house or some kind of like haunted trail, pumpkin patch. Good times. It looks like partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 53, then mostly sunny on Sunday, the high 55. Really nice weather. So it's fall, and we're a week away from Halloween. Nice that Halloween will fall on a Friday.
Have you picked out your costume yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I am not one of those folks who participates in the whole adults dressing up thing.
Oh, because we're so mature.
I don't know. It's just a lot of work and a lot of money. It gets expensive.
It does.
Costumes and such. Yeah, no, definitely not for me. But there are a lot of people who take part. It's actually adults' number two celebration holiday, which is funny for it. Christmas is first, and then comes Halloween. Believe it or not, that's where we're at today.
Yeah, I mean,
any reason to party. That's what people think, right?
Pun intended. You can dress this thing up as anything you want to say it is, but it's just a fun holiday for kids and adults.
All right. I just want to mention quickly a lot of rumors out there after Urban Meyer was seen in a photo with Pennsylvania's U.S. Senator Dave McCormick. All of a sudden, you know, the post is out there and people start going, oh, is he coming to Penn State as a coach? It looked like he was in D.C. At least that's what I thought.
Is he thinking about politics maybe?
I know. That was the first thing
I thought. Like, oh, is he thinking about politics? Is he trying to – is he going to be part of a fundraiser?
Right.
And then I was really in the minority on that thought process. Was people were like, I wonder if he's talking to him about Penn State.
No. I mean, we don't know. Here's what.
Why would he talk to him about Penn State?
Well, that is weird. But I mean, people, you know, there are some who would like Urban Meyer to be the coach. And Senator Dave McCormick yesterday on X posted the picture. He's in what looks like a dining room with a chandelier and very decorated. I was thinking at first, is this like a hotel? where like some official, you know, it looked like, you know, a place where probably connected people go to eat. But
does Pat Kraft's office have chandeliers?
I don't think so.
Okay, just kind of put it out there in case.
Anyway, the Post said, yeah. Great conversation over breakfast this morning with my friend and all-time great at Coach Urban Meyer. We talked about leadership, teamwork, and serving something bigger than yourself.
Politics.
Like coaching?
I think politics. Stop. I think it's politics. I don't think it's coaching.
Why would it? I think that's the easy thought, right? Because it's a politician.
I think it's a logical one, though, too. Like, because, okay, yeah, continue. I'll let you hear you out.
But what I mean, politics, obviously not for Pennsylvania. He's not from PA. That doesn't stop anybody.
Sure.
McCormick has a Connecticut mansion, so I don't know. The thing is, I don't know. But it doesn't make sense to me that if you're going for a coaching job, you try to get into the political mess, but whatever it is, that is one of the rumors. People were like, that looks like the Lash Building, and I'm like, sometimes it doesn't look like the Lash Building.
Sometimes a picture is just a picture. I once had a picture with Paul Abdul, and I remember the tabloids were like, is he joining American Idol? And I was like, no, I'm not. No, that never happened. I just took a picture. That's it, Nancy. I can't imagine Penn State would grab an Urban Meyer.
I can.
He had these like weird allegations of creepiness, like he's cheating.
Can he coach a team?
Their history doesn't allow for someone with flawed morality issues. Even if slightly. People make mistakes.
Right.
Nothing Urban Meyer did was anywhere near the Sandusky stuff.
Oh, sure.
I feel like you don't want the guys like, wait, is he the guy that was grinding on some other girl while he's married? And, like, I don't know. I feel like that raises, you want to have someone with a high moral standing that can be documented, not the other way around. That's just my take. If he gets hired, okay.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people would be like, this is awesome. And a lot of people would go, oh, good. Right. He's always going to want to
well,
be.
Well, I think that's almost.
Didn't he get removed from Ohio State for some other scandal? That was Jim Tressel, I think.
I think that no matter who gets chosen, there will be people that are happy or unhappy. That's just the way it's going to be, you know. So it is what it is. You're never going to make everybody happy. But this Matt Rhule seems to be a pretty underwhelming option, too. Which is, it seems to be what everybody thinks is going to be the, you know, big one. We shall see, right?
What job would you talk to John Fetterman about? If you're going to McCormick for the Penn State job, right. What would I talk to Fetterman about?
Well, he's a Pittsburgh guy.
Steelers coach. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
answered.
Like
thank
that.
You.
Yeah. But when you look at Penn State.
Sheets manager. I don't know.
You know. Sports Illustrated has an article out, and it talks about the whole future for Penn State, what they think's going on. One of the things they asked is what went wrong, because it had the high hopes have been certainly came crashing down. And they talked to some folks some said, you know, there's no game wrecker on the team. They had two last year, Abdul Carter and Tyler Warren. But there is no real big alpha outside of Catron Allen, the closest player, they say, to having an MVP. So the fact that they have those two guys have obviously been sorely missed. And you have Rojas, who is out,
right?
Who was someone who could have certainly helped quite a lot.
They denied Dennis Sutton was a monster early in the season. And he seems to have kind of fallen to the back a little bit. But the whole team has, too. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And one who they talked to said there's a chance Penn State will play in a bowl game because there could be some wins at the end of the season. Typically, you need 6 wins to be eligible, but still, they're in a tough spot.
They get if they get into a bowl game, it's because Penn State fans will travel to a bowl game. Like a lot of them will.
Yeah,
you know, they're a very loyal fan base. We're a very loyal fan base. They travel. They bring money. They're well known. So I think they get in just because if they do, it's just because.
Right.
We are. Penn State.
When they asked about whether Penn State's 2026 starting quarterback is currently on the roster, the people they talked to said no. Franklin never brought a transfer quarterback to Penn State, for better or worse. The next coach will. They think that they'll get someone through the portal. And obviously, a head coach is going to help a lot with that as well, if they get the right one, right? Because, you know, Grunkmeyer, no offense to him. It depends, obviously, how he does in the next few games. But, you know, does anybody see him as, you know, coming, breaking out and doing anything fantastic? Who knows? I guess we're waiting to see. Meanwhile, who will be the next head coach? And, of course, some think it's going to be someone with ties to the athletic director. But they say, one says, Texas A&M coach Mike Elko, who's won at Duke and Texas A&M, can recruit the portal, gifted on game day. They say that's why Kraft did try to hire him at Temple, and they believe he'll try one of them at Penn State. Another says Matt Rhule is the easy answer to this question. And his name seems to keep popping up over and over and over again.
I think the only issue ethically would be Franklin could easily be like, look, we had a slump after all these successful years, and obviously he wanted his friend in. I think it makes Franklin's case better for other jobs to be like, look, they weren't going to give me a chance to write my, okay, I had a real bad turn of events there.
Because I wanted to ask for more money and an extension and had a crap season.
I don't think you want down the crapper.
He should be glad he didn't sign an extension over the summer because people would have been twice as infuriated, but he'd probably get more money too. All right. Speaking of sports, let's move on to this big news that came out yesterday. High stakes poker games with the mob and sports pros and a gambling ring and a bust and all this stuff. It's wild. There was a poker cheating ring, according to the feds. Indictments have been made involving NBA figures backed by the mafia with high-tech cheating methods. This is wild. Shady shuffles, not from quick-handed card sharks, but tricked-out machines. Instead of mirrors or guys in the corner peeking over shoulders, the feds say there were X-ray tables and high-tech contact lenses, low-tech signals between players and old-fashioned beatings for debtors allegedly were used, too. This is just crazy.
It sounds fictional in a way.
Yeah, it does. Look, first of all, there were underground games that were going on, these poker games. So that's illegal in itself. They say they were operated by mafia families. And they say not only these were illegal, but they're extra illegal, as opposed to straight illegal games where at least the poker is legit. Texas Hold'em was the poker they played, like most games those days. It involves very few cards, just 5 face-up public cards and 2 for each player. That potentially simplifies the scamming. So what they did was they'd bring in these rich targets and they'd be called the fish, right? Bring in the fish.
Right.
Brought in by the allure of playing for high stakes in posh secret spots in Manhattan. And they were attracted by the prospect of playing with pro athletes and coaches, including Portland Trail Blazers coach and Hall of Fame NBA player Chauncey Billups. The operators called these the face cards. So you had the fish, and then the face cards are the ones that lure them in. Billups was charged with participating in a conspiracy to fix high-stakes card games tied to La Cosa Nostra, the organized crime families that cheated unsuspecting gamblers out of at least $7 million. Also charged, former NBA assistant coach and player Damon Jones. Now, we don't know the identity of the victims, but imagine this. So you're a wealthy fish. You go in there. The whole thing is everybody else is on the know except for you. You lose your money. You don't pay your money. They beat the crap out of you or threaten to.
Right.
And so it's not even bad enough that, like, you, if you lost legitimately, but you never had a chance. You were going to lose, and you were going to lose big.
Well, yeah, the fix was in. So with the fix being in like that, if that's what really happened, so the plan all along was to beat them down.
Right, to get the money. I mean, the plan belongs to get the money. They're going to get the money, and if they don't have the money, then they're going to have to beat them down to get the money.
Well, true,
it's horrible.
Yeah,
so it wasn't just that. Also, they had conspirators tried other gadgetry other than a shuffling machine, some of it similar to the tech used to identify players' hands on poker telecasts. They don't go into detail about them. X-ray table could identify the face-down cards used in Texas Hold'em from underneath. Hidden cameras built into the trays that hold players' chips that could identify the cards. Customized contact lenses and glasses that could detect special marks that they'd have on the cards you can't see with a naked eye. So the cheating winners share a percentage of the take with the game operators. Victims told to wire money to shell companies, and then it was laundered. The organizers sometimes used robbery, extortion, and assault to get the debtors to pay. Two game operators use their fists to extract payment from one cheated player. Isn't that horrible? God, it's terrible. Anyway, that's what we know so far. By the way, we'll get into it, but Stephen A.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Smith, well-known guy, you know, doing sports broadcasts and talking sports and sometimes politics, who thinks that like this is some kind of retribution.
And he also drops this because he says it's kind of like politically motivated. And then we're talking NBA and he drops this warning.
Don't be surprised that the WNBA is next on his list.
Talking about the president's list. I was so happy watching this press conference. I thought, this is nice to see crime being busted without it being politically motivated. And Stephen A. Smith's like, hold up.
Hold my beer. Some officials from Lackawanna and Luzerne counties squared off yesterday. And it all has to do with the airport in Avoca. Very interesting stuff. WVIA has a really good story about this with Boris Grichenik. They do a great job covering the news. So basically, it all has to do with supplementing the armed security force and federal agents with local police at the local airport. So there was a Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport board meeting. Lackawanna County Commissioner Bill Gaughan is there. He said the airport does not need the extra police, and even the airport officials backed him up. Again, this is in WVIA.org, their story. Luzerne County Manager Romilda Crocomo accused Gaughan of grandstanding and acting Bush League because there was someone there who oversees the extra. There was someone who's supposed to be there who oversees the extra police. That's Luzerne County DA Sam Sanguadolce. But he wasn't there. So she was unhappy that this was being discussed, I guess, without him being there. I'm not sure why he wasn't there. He wasn't at the meeting. Yeah. Later with WVIA, he said he supported the program of having local police there. But I do have a question. Do they need to be there? Because it costs quite a bit of money. So Luzerne County has been paying about $12,000 a month to keep this funding going. It's TSA funding for the program known as Law Enforcement Officer, or LEO, expired May 1st of 2024. And I guess former Representative Matt Cartwright was one who wanted to revive the funding, but it did not happen. Okay, so it hasn't happened. Since then, Luzerne County has been ponying up the money. So it's about $175,000 a year. And the Luzerne County officials were asking Lackawanna County to contribute. Now, Lackawanna County, we know, has had its own issues with a large deficit and taxes have gone up. And they didn't really want to pony up. So the issue was discussed in an October 14th meeting for Luzerne County Council. And they wanted Lackawanna County to kind of, have some kind of a new partnership agreement for the airport, and they want Lackawanna County to contribute. So Gaughan says he looked into it because they didn't pay last year. And he says he found out they weren't needed. And I guess when they talked about it in a private executive session before the board meeting, Gaughan said the assistant airport executive director, the airport security director, and the airport executive director all said the airport doesn't need the police. Gaughan said to the board, they are telling me emphatically we don't need this program. And Crocomo was not happy about that. She said, I've traveled to other airports of a similar size. They all have a police presence. Luzerne County has basically carried the burden of paying for the program. We're healthy financially. We understand Lackawanna County is not.
We've heard rumors.
But what's fair is fair. And either you have a partnership or you don't. With a partnership agreement. Anyway, she was very unhappy, even though right out in the open, Bill Gaughan asked these folks, again, people at the airport. Here's the quote. Gaughan asked Teichman if the airport should spend money on the program. No, Teichman said. Gaughan asked Beardsley. These are all, as we said, people that are in charge there.
Yeah.
How about Beardsley? No, Beardsley said. Gaughan recapped, I don't know how to run an airport. I'll admit, I've been on a plane once in my life. I went to Ireland 2 years ago. We have the director of public safety, a former air marshal, the assistant airport director, and the airport director telling you people at this table, we do not need the police program. If Luzerne County wants to pay for it out of their own coffers, be my guest. It's a nice program to have if you want to pay for it. Have at it. So, you know, Crocomo objected calling Gaughan's request, I guess. He asked for it, and the meeting went on with other business before it ended. Gaughan asked Teichman to present the analysis. She provided the board privately. Crocomo objected, calling the request Bush League because Sangue Dulce was not there. So, look, they're arguing over this. I seem to remember. In the past, another issue. Remember when they were selling the ballpark? Bob Cordero would remember this because he was a part of it.
Yeah.
But back then, both when they started the baseball team, both counties ponied up, I think, $1 million apiece, or I could be wrong on the number, but they both did. But after that, Lackawanna County pretty much was the one with most of the costs. And then when it was getting sold, Luzerne County got upset because, hey, what about us? We ponied up and we should blah, blah, blah. When you try to get two together, you're always going to have those kinds of, you know, battles. Should they be ponying up that kind of money? If it's if they're saying it's not necessary, why are we doing it?
Yeah, it seemed, I can't really tell for sure, is Ramona Crocomo, as she's saying, we need to have this, you need to spend the money, or I'm sick of spending all this money. I don't know if it's just about the money. Right. And that's the thing. Like,
it's about the money, and it sounds like she's supportive of continuing the program. But it sounds more like she wants the DA to be there, since he's the one who kind of was in charge of the program. I'm not sure why he wasn't there, if it was something that they were going to discuss. Maybe they didn't know. I would think they did, because on the 14th, the council talked about it. So
but they're going to invite him next month. He's going to be there next month to make it. So we're going to kick the can down the road a little bit.
But a little bit of heat there. Joe Snedeker will tell you what the weather's like this weekend, especially if you have any outdoor activities. As we're approaching Halloween, let's get to Joe Snedeker at Storm Tracker 16.
Hi, folks, and good Friday. Joe Snedeker here from WNEP-TV. Here's a deep pondering for you, folks. Are you ready for this? Nancy, hold on to Jason's arm. He's going to quiver. This will be the last weekend you will see the sun after 6 p.m. until March 2026. Next weekend, we're turning those clocks back. So, woo! Make good use of your time today. Clouds and sun, breezy. High temperatures about 53. A passing shower, but much of the day will be dry. The weekend, same thing tomorrow, partly sunny. I could see a sprinkle somewhere, but 90% of the day, actually 99% of the day looks dry and about 55. Sunday and Monday and probably into Tuesday, all dry, partly sunny, and in the low to mid 50s. But then an East Coast monster is going to form late next week, probably by Thursday, and that could mean some coastal rain and wind. We'll see how close it gets to us. It could still be a miss, and let's hope it's out of here by Halloween, which is 1 week today. Oh, baby, it's all going down. The rest is up to you. Put a smile on your face. Say it's good to be alive. Make the most of your time here on planet Earth, and I'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. 39 degrees.
Joe's working a Monday?
That's weird. What happened?
Do you mean like the next Monday he decides to work next year?
That's crazy.
Monday. How about
39
that?
Degrees at 7:48 at WILK. I'd like your attention, please. Something to think about. Peggy Noonan, if you know her, she's written a lot of political speeches. She's conservative, was really instrumental in a lot of what you heard from Ronald Reagan, who's in the news because of the fact that the president doesn't like Ontario officials who've bought advertising that talks about Ronald Reagan's stance against tariffs. And so much, it's upset the president so much so he has halted talks with Canada right now. Anyway, Peggy Noonan writes for the Wall Street Journal, and her op-ed is called "A Republic, But Can We Keep It?" And I think it's something for all of us to ponder the words, wherever you may stand. And she talks about how, you know, there are obviously many Democrats and look, there's some former Republicans and independents who are worried about, as you hear a lot, democracy. But she talks about being worried about our republic. And here's just a little bit of what she had to say. Are we maintaining our republic? Is our equilibrium holding? The last 9 months, a lot of lines seem to have been crossed. In the use of the military, in redirecting the Justice Department to target the president's enemies, real and perceived. There are many areas in which you've come to think, isn't the executive assuming powers of Congress here? Why is Congress allowing this? The executive branch takes on authority to bend its foes, defeat them. You ask, is all this constitutional? The president jokes that he may not accept the Constitution's two-term presidential limit. Are you laughing? She talks about how the 250th anniversary is coming up next year, and she said many are rereading the old documents and talking about, you know, what was said in the Declaration of Independence. Here's a little more of what she says. They resonate in unexpected ways. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, he has excited domestic insurrectionists among us. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration hither. The founders didn't want any of that. It's why they created a republic. The tearing down of the East Wing of the White House also seems, in this context of concern, disturbing. White House defenders dismiss qualms as pearl-clutching. A big, vital building's gotta grow. It's been torn down and built up before. We need more room. But all this was done without public demand or support, and was done in a way that was abrupt, complete, unstoppable. Congress has the power of the purse for such projects, but the president says no. Our wonderful donors are paying for it, but the names of the donors are not quickly revealed. Your imagination was forced to go, why? Might certain bad actors be buying influence? Crypto kings, billionaires needing agency approvals, felons buying pardons, AI chieftains on the prowl? Might the whole thing be open to corruption? Would it even have been attempted in a fully functioning, sharp and hungry republic, or only a tired one that's being diminished? The photos of the tearing down of the East Wing were upsetting because they felt like a metaphor for the idea that history itself can be made to disappear. And she goes on a little later just to say, it all gives you a feeling of nihilism, something you've never felt in your entire honestly constructive life. And it's so shocking that for a moment, it leaves you giddy. And in the end, having been broken down a bit, you wind up laughing last week at a video in which an American president put a crown on his head in the cockpit of a fighter jet, flies over America and drops human waste on it. You just laugh when nothing like that ever would have made you laugh before, and in fact would have hurt your heart. 9 months in, we've got to be thinking about these things. That's Peggy Noonan, op-ed, Wall Street Journal, and it's titled "A Republic, But Can We Keep It?"
That was the nod. That was allegedly Benjamin Franklin, what he said at the Constitutional Convention. Mm-hmm. I've heard that so many times, and I guess there's no proof, but that's always tied to him. And it makes sense because it's modernized to what we're dealing with now.
It is what it is. Wanted to talk quickly about AI and bringing people who have died back to life through artificial intelligence.
This is what could go wrong?
In the news now, because Suzanne Somers, who passed away a few years ago, she died October of 2023. Her longtime husband, Alan Hamill, they'd been together like 50 years. He is developing an artificial intelligence replica of his late wife. So he recently presented the project at a conference. And he said, I recently asked her, I asked her a few questions. She answered them. It blew me and everybody else away. Just wild.
Here's a little bit of, you can hear her talk, because it's a creepy looking robot, though. It's not what I thought it was when I first heard it.
When you say robot,
it looks like
a
robot.
Is it actually like a robot in front of you, or is it on a screen?
It's a robot in front of you. Like, it's a physical, like, it looks, yeah, it's creepier than it sounds, probably, but.
Okay. I'll be the star of a reality show, The Real Robot Housewives of Silicon Valley.
Alan reportedly
so
said.
So, in Entertainment Tonight and a bunch of news outlets had this. The voice part is dead on. There's so much, you know, audio of her throughout the years. Right. They could match it perfectly.
Yeah. And so he presented this, and he said, when you look at the finished one next to the real Suzanne, you can't tell the difference. The AI was trained using all 27 of Somers' books and hundreds of her interviews. See, many people won't have that kind of stuff that is out there. Obviously, they've been interviewed and they're on all different shows and everything they said is recorded. So they can really come up with a personality to match.
Her personality,
said,
yeah.
And he says the idea originated in the 1980s when they met a scientist, Ray Kurzweil, and he says it was Suzanne's idea. She wanted to help fans with health information through the technology, but he does he says it is helpful to have, even if it's not her, the likeness of her around.
But they're
That's
saying
creepy to me. I'm sorry.
The AI itself is going to be hosted eventually at SuzanneSomers.com, where they say fans will be able to talk to her, ask her health questions. Here's the problem. Like anything else on the internet and what we're seeing in some of these other chatbot things, your intention is fans can talk to her and ask her health and lifestyle questions. But remember who we're talking about. Suzanne Somers. People are going to use this for whatever. It's creepy to think about. I think this is the future, though. I think this is the future. Dead celebrities coming back in some form or another. And we're going to start. I think it's going to be more entertainment based than it's going to be advice.
Well, we'll see. And health information is changing as time goes on.
That's why
on
I
as
think
well.
It's going to be less of an impact.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back there, but
I want to do a couple of stories on, real estate, restaurant, business news in the area just quickly first. Saying goodbye to Komensky's Market in Duryea. It has closed after 105 years. It had been established back in 1920, known for its kielbasa and large selection of meats. So there was a Facebook post by owners of the business. It said, "All good things must come to an end. Yes, it is true. We have decided to close the store. This was not an easy decision, but at this time, it's the best decision for us. We thank you for all your support, especially after my brother passed away in 2019. We appreciate each and every one of you." So there's a sign on the door that says, "Please be advised, the store is no longer open. Thank you for your support over the years." Their slogan in their advertisements, according to the Citizen's Voice, "Kielbasa is our specialty. It was a frequent award winner at the Plymouth Alive Kielbasa Festival.
Well, if you're not, you're not in the kielbasa business, because that is where it thrives.
I believe Johnny L. might actually be wearing a shirt today from that. Am I right or no? I think so. I noticed he was wearing his kielbasa shirt.
I knew there was a reason.
There you go. That's why. So a lot of people were lamenting the loss of Kamensky's. Even the Duryea Police Department. With a tribute post today, we say goodbye to a true piece of Duryea history, Kamensky's Market. It's been more than just a store. It's where families shopped for holiday dinners, neighbors caught up, and generations of memories were made. West Pittston's Facebook page also paying homage to them as well. So you hate to see something that's been there for so long. So many places that it happens, and it's sad to see. Meanwhile, demolition has begun on the former bowling alley, Stanton Lanes. This one was in the news this week in Wilkes-Barre. So they started this demolition on the former Stanton Lanes. Many, many, many of you have fond memories, right? It was a very popular bowling center, but the doors were shut back in July of 2018.
Well, it sat for a while, huh?
Yeah. In 2021, a Baptist church in Wilkes-Barre applied for a zoning variance to establish a church and a community center on the site. But the board did vote to approve variance requests, allowing it to move forward. I don't know where we're at with that whole thing. But repair work never materialized.
Right.
And the condition just got worse and worse.
You could tell going on their Facebook page. I was just kind of curious to see pictures or whatever. What are the sign of the times as a business? Their email address, stantonlanes1@AOL.com. Like, that's such right. a...
That's
like,
how long.
Yeah, it's been a while. Huh?
Right. So they've had complaints. The city administrator said Mount Zion acquired a demolition permit for the building in July, and the demolition is, now underway. So what do we do? What happens next? No one knows what will happen at the site. So we'll see. Will they construct something new there for the church? But they are taking it down, which people, are glad to see, even though it's sad. You say goodbye to places that used to be a big part of the area. Also, another story in the news business-wise is that family-owned business that already has three spots in Lackawanna County will open a fourth next year. Benny's. Benny's has its first bar and restaurant in Blakely. Also, it's right on the main drag in South Abington Township. And then in the Green Ridge section of Scranton has a location as well.
That's a more recent one, I believe.
Right. That one was March 2024.
Okay. Yeah.
So the closing of the sale of the former Kildare's Irish Pub Railroad Yard restaurant and bar, that property on Jefferson Avenue, is going to be taken over by Benny's. The co-owners will be putting it there. And the Scranton Times Tribune has this artist rendering, image of the planned design. Looks very nice, but they are going to be... putting that location looks larger than certainly the one that I've seen in the South Abington area. Yeah, that's more of on a strip mall area.
The Blakely location is, I've plenty of times been over there. Bands in the backyard. It's not the biggest location, right, but it's more of a traditional place. The other ones are small, almost like strip mall.
Yes. So they say, according to the article in the Scranton Times Tribune, going for a sports bar theme. They say, we do entertainment at our Green Ridge location. It does well. We're keeping our eyes open for getting good live music in there and the surrounding area. So that seems like a good place.
I always like seeing places. It's weird when you start getting to this point where you start expanding the local business. At what point do you become a chain? But they've slowly grown, and they're doing it the right way, apparently, because people are...
Things are working out for them.
Yeah, it's becoming a name for that type of bar food and stuff like that in the area. Good for them.
So a whole bunch of different news regarding real estate. Some good, some sad, right? That's how it goes. What else? There was something else we were going to talk about, and I went, the debate last night.
Yeah, that's
Lackawanna County. So there's a special election coming up, And we have three candidates, a Democrat, a Republican, and an Independent, to fill the McGloin vacancy. Brenda Sacco is there now and will be there for less than 2 weeks. And whether she stays in that spot, she would like to keep the seat. And so that sounds like there could be some legal arguments continuing about whether the special election is illegal or not. They've lost a few rounds on that front. But that became a big topic because of, I believe, the cryptic answers from Chris Patrick, who was and is the executive chairman of the Democrat committee in Lackawanna County, talking about waiting to see what happens in the election to know what happens next with Brenda Sacco. So the three candidates were at this debate yesterday, and we're asked about it. And we have a couple of answers for you that'll help us out.
Yeah, the gist of this question is pretty much, will they serve out their term if they win? Because suddenly that's not a thing, at least the speculation
said so. There was concern that especially the Democrat picked one might, some people thought, would he step down and allow her to finish it out? Yeah. So let's go to Tom Welby, first Democrat nominee.
To be clear, if I'm lucky enough to be elected and the election is certified, I will be serving as county commissioner until the end of this term. And I believe that when this special election was dictated and mandated by the court, that overrides anything else. And with all due respect, if Brenda were to pursue it, Brenda's an incredibly talented and intelligent person. And if she chooses to pursue that, she certainly has every right to do that if she feels that she has that responsibility or ability to do that.
So he is telling everyone clearly, if I win this election, I intend to stay the course all the way through the end of January 2028. Independent Michael Cappellini on that question.
When we talk about the special election, I mean, you know, for any three of us to sit here and talk about it is speculation at this point. What I do know is that the special election was definitely decided on two separate courts. I actually sat in court and defended the special election myself. I was cross-examined by the Democratic committee's attorney. And I fought very hard to ensure that each and every one of your voices were heard. So if it does come to the point where there is some kind of challenge, I can promise you immensely that I am here to serve as your county commissioner and to ensure that the voice of the people is heard.
Okay. So also, and I don't think we're going to have a lot of time here, so we will just let you know. When it comes to the question about reassessment, Michael Cappellini, he is the independent running. He has stated that he believes the reassessment should be implemented as it has been on course. It should not be changed. So he doesn't stray from the position of Democrat Bill Gaughan. When it comes to implementation for the other two candidates, both Chet Murley, the Republican, and Tom Welby, the Democrat, would both like to see a delay in the process. And there are questions about whether legally it can or can't. And neither of them is confident in what legally would happen. But they believe that it's worth trying to delay because they feel that people need more time to understand exactly how it will impact them.
Yeah, how much they're going to owe. One of the arguments that was kind of made, and it was interesting, there's no gain for the county. You know, taxes aren't going to go up. So since it's all going to be even, what's the problem by slowing it down a little bit?
One of the arguments is that there are a number of people who aren't paying enough. What they should.
Correct.
There
Absolutely.
Are some who are overpaying. And so you're allowing what is, but I get the idea of the assessments being appealed. And if you are getting a high number of people that they are lowering the assessments after the appeals, it does make you wonder how much of them are accurate. Now, we had Gaughan and the assessment director in here. You can still appeal as we go into the new year once you get, you know, your bills and such. So the appeals process can still continue. It's just the process right before that implementation, you know, ended. They had an end date on that. But it's an interesting discussion. And I think because people don't know how it really is impacting them, it's hard for them to answer whether they wanted to continue or not. EJ, bring in the sunshine as well to talk about local high school football. Hi, EJ.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Jason. How are we?
Hi, sunshine. Or what did you say? Bring the sunshine? There he is here. Sunshine. Good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm doing wonderful, man. This is the final week. I'm excited for my game. I'm going back home. There's
you mean,
a lot of games to cover.
Final week of regular season.
Yeah, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This
How
is
did it happen
final
that
week of regular
fast?
Season.
Yeah, it is wild. It is wild. All right. There are some big games that you want to talk about here. I know there were some that happened yesterday, but as we look at this weekend, what big game? All right, big game I see here is one for tonight, Pittston area, Wyoming area. We are talking two teams with the same record, 8-1. That's big.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And here's the thing about Pittston area and Wyoming area. There are three rivalries in the Wyoming Valley Conference that are nasty and are some of the best and most entertaining football. Pittston area is on that list of one of those three. And the fact that they're both 8-3 and have the literal exact carbon copy teams, this is going to be a complete dogfight. And if Pittston area wins, they solidify themselves as the champs of that conference and the champs of their pretty much winning their one seed. Wyoming area, if they win, could shake up the playoffs because, well, they go into it 9-1 and they play Scranton Prep, at least as of right now, makes things interesting. Mm-hmm. So
that's a big game. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So other games that are going on today. There's Berwick at Tunkhannock tonight.
Yes. And listen, Tunkhannock has home advantage. They've also they also have been able to stop the run slightly decent, and they do have some offensive pieces. But the bigger thing is Berwick, if they win tonight, and anything is possible, will go undefeated after last year having the disaster of a season they had last year and the year before. They could go undefeated, which is insane.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. All right, another game, Greater Nanticoke, Hanover area tonight.
Right, right. And look at, see, these two teams, the record kind of doesn't say this was a great game.
No, it's a huge disparity.
Call,
yeah, it's a very big disparity.
This is the Sansui struggle. It's another rivalry. It's one of those three that I mentioned. And it's a huge one in the Wilkes-Barre area. So, like I said, it doesn't matter the record in a game like this. There have been upsets. I mean, I remember a year Hanover area had two wins all year. Mm-hmm. And they went in and they won by multiple scores.
So anything could happen. Yeah, anything could happen.
Goes.
I went to Lackawanna Trail. Big fan. Great football team. Looks like they are taking on Riverside at Riverside tonight. Another game with two similar records, 8-1 each.
Yes, and again, two teams that have been so competitive in the recent years that they're turning into slow rivals. And I'll tell you what. Both teams' defenses have been fantastic, and this is a good test for Lackawanna Trail, I think, because they're playing a team that's not huge, but slightly bigger than them. And I always said, if there's anybody who's going to make it out of District 2 and go far in the playoffs, I think it's Trail. We'll see if they can make it.
Mm-hmm. We shall. All right. And North Pocono, another undefeated team, is going to be playing at Scranton Prep tonight. So that's going to be a big one.
Yeah, North Pocono is in a very good position, and they have a little bit harder, not a knock on Burke, they have a little bit harder of a final game to go undefeated. Scranton Prep, who's turned the Jets on as of recently, and Prep has the home advantage. So I guess we will see, but if they do, North Pocono will be undefeated. And by the way, I think they're the best in District 2 right now. The only way that I think Trail may go farther is because 4A, where North Pocono is kind of stacked at the state level.
Yeah.
So we keep that in mind.
I see that. I see you're covering one that's near and dear to your heart tonight, right?
I am. You know, I fought so hard to get this game because, you know, I haven't really gone back to a Dallas game since they started sending me everywhere else. And this is a big one, a rivalry game. The old shoe game has been played since the mid-1930s. There's a whole long
and this is Lake Lehman, by the way. I just want to make sure people know what we're talking about. You mentioned Dallas. It's Lake Lehman at Dallas. Both of them 4 wins, 5 losses.
Yes, yes. And you know what? Both of these teams have the same record, but not only that, they, just like Wyoming area and Pittston area, are carbon copies of each other. Fantastic offenses, like explosive offenses, and slightly weaker defenses. So I guess we're going to see a big bunch of fireworks. This should be fun because both teams hate each other, and this one's for the shoe. It's not just for a win. It's for the shoe.
I like those very old school things. Thing back here. I love that stuff.
And then we're moving into playoffs where things get really fun. So big, big weekend here.
Absolutely. Excited. Absolutely. And looking to the playoff picture really quickly, 1A has been decided. We heard breaking news, I believe it was yesterday, that Holy Cross has decided to drop. So Nativity BVM from down in Allentown is going to get the 4 seed in 1A. A couple of other things. Really quickly, Scranton Prep and Hanover area are fighting for that 3 seed. If Prep loses and Hanover wins, there's a chance that they get into the 3 seed depending on other results. North Pocono clinched already, and Pittston area has officially, well, they've clinched the 1 seed, but Abington and Delaware Valley could shuffle around still technically. And the bottom seeds in 5A, Wyoming Valley West and West Scranton, based on wins and losses, is going to be a little interesting. If West Scranton wins and Valley West loses, they're in the playoffs. If not, Valley West will retain the 4 seed. And 6A is a little interesting because we saw Scranton play yesterday. Mm-hmm. They will now play Williamsport next week in the playoffs. We'll go over the
good
playoffs
stuff
next week as things set
all
up.
Right, we got to run, but have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy it. I know how much you do, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
All righty. Take care,
guys.
Take
care, EJ. Bye.
Promoting and advancing the craft and microbrew culture in Northeast PA. This is another edition of
The Friday Beer Buzz!
And the Friday Beer Buzz powered by Sabatini's Pizza and Sabatini's Bottle Shop and Bar in Exeter. They have the area's greatest selection of rare craft and imported beers. Growlers and crowlers and 43 rotating drafts at Sabatini's Pizza and Sabatini's Bottle Shop and Bar, Wyoming Avenue in Exeter. Lindo Sabatini's with us. Good morning.
What's happening?
What's up?
What's going on?
How are you? What's
hey,
new?
What the heck is
I'm
that?
Great. It's a good morning.
It's a good morning for
it's
me,
a good
too.
Morning.
Nancy, how's it for you?
How you doing over there, Nancy?
Oh,
the
wow.
Friday Beer Buzz!
Nancy's reading. What are you reading, Nancy?
I was just looking at this. Nothing. You don't want to know what I'm looking at. So you had more than one word to say today, so that's good so far.
Yeah, it's been good.
It's a good. We've got Halloween this weekend, you know, the last weekend before the big holiday. Do people dress up at all coming in? Or
in the bar, you'll get some people that are, especially that since it's on a Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be a Friday.
You'll
it's
get people dripping in before their parties and coming out, coming back after their parties, that kind of stuff we'll see. But
yeah,
the big thing is all the pizza orders like are going to be 7s and 10s, and
yes,
large orders,
parties,
to go,
get-togethers, yeah, and like you said, to have Halloween on a Friday is kind of cool. So it'll really be great for the partying because it's always weird when you have one like it's like Tuesday. Like, what are you gonna do? You
yeah,
wait,
you
and
wait.
Then it feels like you're like, it's like not the same thing.
I just hope my kids don't have that expectation that it's Friday, we're gonna go out. My kids have decided to trick or treat as well, so maybe I'll just come out to your place.
Well, yeah, go and trick or treat with them. Let them be kids.
Is they don't ever come in with like a trick or treat, like an adult like trick or treat, and expect to get a beer?
No, not a beer,
but they a candy bar.
They do come in looking for candy, and I'm like,
eh. Yeah, it's not like that gives you the willies, doesn't
you're
it?
Breaking the law, man.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Get off my business.
Get out of here.
Get off my business. Property. It's against the law. All right, back to you. Halloween's on a Friday. Good point.
So what else is happening? Is there anything big coming up? Or?
Yeah, Halloween's on a Friday.
I know that.
How about
sometimes
this?
Sometimes you do some
tonight,
cool
tonight's
fun
gonna, things. Tonight's going to be pretty fun because we have Wyoming area, Pittston area game.
I was, and you know what? Get, and while you were like making fun of me looking, I was looking because I know we talked about, I have my football notes, yeah, and he was talking about the rivalry, and I know that's in your neighborhood
so
there.
So we're going to get a lot of Pittston area people before the game, we normally do, and then after the game, we're going to get a lot of Wyoming.
So what's
area
it called, that rivalry? If the other one is the Sansui Struggle?
This is the I think they call it the Bridge Game or Battle okay of the Bridge or something, okay, about the bridge in between the going across the river.
So you'll get a lot of people just for that.
Yeah. So that'll be fun tonight, too.
Nice. So lots of pizza orders.
Yeah.
Yeah, in theory, right?
And then afterwards, there'll be a lot of beer.
A lot of beer. Yeah.
Beer.
Yeah, we have beer news, and we're going to come back. We got the featured beer.
This one's up my alley.
It is?
Yes, because it's dark.
I don't know if it's up my alley because I don't drink until after this. Beer news.
Beer.
News.
Hey, everybody, and happy Friday. It is Bill from MyBeerBuzz.com.
MyBeerBuzz.com.
4.0 with your Friday Beer Buzz News of the Week. This week, Harpoon Brewery continues its collaborations with Dunkin', and that will continue with a beer called Brown Sugar Shaken Espresso Stout. That will be a nitrogen-charged stout brewed with Dunkin' Espresso and brown sugar. The beer hits 6% ABV. It will be packaged in 12-ounce cans. Trogs is working on a beer that I'm excited to try called Chocolate Elf, and it's a blend of Mad Elf and Grand Cacao, and it will be brewed with honey, cherry, cacao nibs, vanilla, and milk sugar. That beer hits 8.7% ABV, and it will be packaged in 12-ounce cans for a holiday release. Bell's Brewery is working on a 40th anniversary expedition stout. That beer will be aged in bourbon barrels. It will hit 13.9% ABV, and it will be packaged in 12-ounce bottles. That is your Friday Beer Buzz News of the Week. As always, you can click on the Breaking Beer News tab on MyBeerBuzz.com.
MyBeerBuzz.com.
For the latest details.
Thank you. It's the Friday Beer Buzz 4.0. New website. Check it out.
Now, the beer is a dark beer, which I love. What do you think, Jason?
It's not bad. Everyone's looking at me like something.
I think it's good.
Well,
yeah, it's good.
He saw the can, and there's a word on the can that gives him like shivers.
What is it?
Do you taste there's something added to
this? Is it making your belly warm?
No, it's not bad.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I went into this very skeptical because I was like, this is my arch.
Is it coconut?
It's coconut.
Oh,
yeah.
It's coconut.
It doesn't taste coconutty at all, though.
It's a mild not coconut. At all. You have to kind of look for the coconut, but it's there. This is an iconic beer for us.
Very good.
That we've had a lot of guests looking for this beer for a long time because Oscar Blues Brewery has not made Death by Coconut. In a couple of years.
So it's Oscar Blues Death by Coconut.
Yes.
And I think you just don't like the texture of coconut.
Yeah, I've always said if you give me a chocolate cake with one flake of coconut, I'll find it. It's like the needle in the haystack in a cake. This is delicious, and I don't taste any coconut.
I mean, I get the texture of coconut. That flake is kind of like leathery or whatever, however you want to
describe
squishy
it. It's squishy and it feels like there should be like moist, but there's no liquid in it. It's the whole thing's confusing to me.
I love it.
So when you stick it in a liquid, then it's okay because it's already liquidy.
Well, it's just liquidy. It doesn't have that dryness or that.
Plus, coconuts were created in such a way that we should have just been like, I mean, look at it. We can't get into that thing. But we were like, we fought to get into these things.
It's worth the wait.
If you say so.
It's mild coconut. It's not like you are not eating.
No, you're not even. Unless someone tells you it, once you hear it, you can kind of taste it, but you would not be like, hey, this is coconut.
So they're calling it an Irish style porter that's been hit with coconut and chocolate.
Mm.
Are there pieces of coconut in this?
No. Well, I'm sure there was.
I see like little like thingies.
You shouldn't be drunk yet. There's nothing in there. This has been filtered. There's no way you're going to get coconut chunks in
it. It's just a dirty cup.
That dusty speaker.
There is a thing in there.
What?
A couple things in there.
There's no things in there.
Yeah, there's floaties in mine.
What the?
Do you see it?
No.
Look, mine's speckled. Look.
Let me see your speckles.
You got to stand up and under the light.
All right.
They might be little bits.
I think it's coconut. It might be. I think this is kind of like
I think you have a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Like old school Rita's. Yeah. You'd have little pieces of cherry in the cherry. And so this is the same thing.
Yeah, but your pour was at the end, so maybe it is filtering out.
It's yummy.
Oh, I got a floater. There's a little piece of coconut in there. I got a guy.
On behalf of Oscar Blues Brewery.
There is coconut in this thing.
I want to make a suggestion. Yeah. Let's stop calling them floaties and floaters.
No, they're not floaters. They're little pieces of love.
On behalf of Oscar Blues Brewery, let's not call them floaters or little pieces.
I just told you what they are. A little
yummy.
How about this? I think there's coconut.
No, there's little pieces of coconut love in mine.
Tiny, tiny, tiny pieces.
There's flex of something.
What is that song?
Fleck is better.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. That one. We should just do you've got a lovely fleck of coconut.
Lovely piece of coconut love.
It's good.
Don't Google coconut love.
I love this. I love
just making it.
I love porters.
Yeah, but this is delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a sweet. You get a little bit of sweetness from the chocolate, and then somewhere in there is some coconut.
I have a challenge for anyone because I know when we talk about this, you like coconut, mm-hmm. Nancy.
Yes, I do.
I will be like, I hate it, and you're like, you sound crazy, and then people will be like, I don't like it either. If you don't like coconut and you drink beer, seriously try this. If you would have said it's death by something, what do you think? I wouldn't have tasted the coconut.
You might have said death by chocolate.
I don't know what I would have said. Yeah. But knowing it has coconut in it and the fact that I'm like, I still don't taste it is, this is a great beer.
I like it a lot.
This is the first coconut product I think I've ever enjoyed.
I think it's
ever.
The first beer that I've drank that had little pieces of coconut love in it.
Yeah, little flex. Flex a
lot. Don't even Google Lil Flex. I don't know who he is.
By the way, there's a candy called Coconut Love, so don't worry. You won't find something bad. It's not like you're
so as soon
trouble.
As you told her not to Google it, she Googled it.
I did. I Googled it right up. I'm right on it. Like coconut flex in my beer. All over it.
All over
no,
it.
No, it's very,
no, this
very
is nice.
It's very sporadic.
This is
it's fabulous. I love it.
All right. I want to hear Barsky say, I like coconut beer.
I'm going to say this. This is the most surprisingly good beer I've ever had on this show.
Aye.
Ever. Because it's
That's
delicious.
A statement.
And I'd rather throw coconuts into the ocean.
He did just say deliterally.
Deliterally.
It's a new word.
I know a lot of fake words, but what's deliterally?
If you give me a coconut on an island, I'd throw it in the ocean. I don't like coconut
at
all.
So you're dying and you would not eat a coconut?
No, death. I would literally.
You take death on the island.
If it was the only food, it would be death by not eating coconut.
I don't believe
the name of this beer is Death by Coconut, not Death or Coconut.
Either way. This is stunningly great, even with the coconut pieces. I can't taste it. I'm coconut sensitive in my brain.
I think you like coconut. You just don't like coconut. You like the flavor.
I don't like it. Stop telling me I do.
You like the flavor. Yeah. You don't like the texture.
I don't know what it is.
It's a very mild. Once you say it, I can kind of taste it.
It's there. It's there.
It's so good.
Yeah.
This is coconut yummy.
But you know what? I like it this way because it's not overpowering.
No,
when you get coconut in your
much.
Mouth on some coconut beers, it's right. Like you don't taste anything else. This is done nice.
This is perfect.
I agree. I'm stunned that I'm saying I like this beer a lot.
Yeah.
And I would buy this and drink it at home.
You know what? I have an extra can. You can take home a
someday
coconut beer.
Someday I am going to – we're going to do a little video, and you're going to eat some coconut.
I'm going to crack the coconut up because he told me I can't get into it, and I'm going to make him eat it with a spoon.
I think you should have some coconut.
Hang on. You were just saying we're going to let you try it. He's over here torturing me. He's like, we're going to break it open and force you to
eat it. We'll go somewhere in the middle.
What if you bake – put a flake of coconut.
We'll starve you first.
I'll bring you a coconut cream donut.
Here's a challenge. Bake a cupcake and put like a random number of flakes in, and I'll tell you how many are in there. I'll bet I can find them. I'm telling you. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm that sensitive to it.
Oh, wow. Well.
Except this beer.
I think if you were starving, you'd get it. All right. So the beer is Oscar Blues Death by Coconut.
The alcohol is only 6.5 for the record. But he's drinking it like it's 16.5.
No, right. I'm totally sober. Cutie, I'm good. I just have a good time here. We're having a good time.
All right. So
right?
You can
fun?
Get it.
Fun.
Try
yes.
It out for yourself. Oscar Blues Death by Coconut Irish Style Porter. It's a porter, chocolate, coconut.
Deliterally one of the best beers you'll find.
And it's deliterally great. Don't be.
Many pieces of coconut love.
Yes. Have a great weekend. Enjoy that game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoy everybody else. What was it? Sansui Struggle or the Battle of the Bridges and all those other games. All right. The Friday Beer Buzz powered by Sabatini's Pizza and Sabatini's Bottle Shop and Bar in Exeter. The greatest selection of rare craft and imported beers. Growlers and Crowlers, 43 rotating drafts at Sabatini's Pizza and Sabatini's Bottle Shop and Bar, Wyoming Avenue in Exeter. It's the Friday Beer Buzz, bringing good beers and good people together. Deliterally.
Deliterally. Yeah.
Today is it's National Kangaroo Awareness Day. Were you aware that there are kangaroos?
I wasn't.
It's also National Bologna Day.
Okay, we'll go on to bologna.
Bologna sandwich. All right. Some of the things that happened on this day, October the 24th, Anna Edison Taylor, she's 43 years old. She was in 1901. A 43-year-old widow, the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel and live to tell about it. In 1908, baseball's anthem, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, was introduced by singer Billy Murray. On this date, 1929, stock market crash began on what's known as Black Thursday. The Dow Jones dropped 12.8%. The market collapsed 5 days later, starting the Great Depression. It was on this date, 1945, the United Nations officially came into existence as its charter took effect. 2002, I remember this one. Washington, D.C. sniper suspects John Allen Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo apprehended while asleep at a roadside rest stop.
That is one of the scarier times in my adult life.
It really was.
That was only about, it was an hour away. It was bad.
2004, iTunes was added to 9 countries. So you think back and go, like, it's only, that was 21 years ago. It just doesn't seem that way, does it? All right, let's take a look. When I say a couple, I mean 2 birthdays, celebrity birthdays today. You ready to play?
It's the celebrity birthday game.
Can
now
you handle
I'm ready.
It?
I can't. I'm going to turn to jelly.
Kevin Klein, A Fish Called Wanda, Dave,
been?
The Bills, Big Chill. I don't know.
Kevin!
Husband of?
Oh, hang on. Kevin Klein's married. This is going to make me mad. Who is it? Phoebe Cates.
Oh, whoa. What Phoebe Cates,
that's
yes.
It.
How
right.
old is he?
How'd I get that?
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like 73 now.
78.
Ooh.
Wow, I was surprised.
She's a lot.
That.
She must be. She's got to be younger than him.
Yeah, because I think she might only be in her late 50s. Why don't
yeah.
you look it up? All right.
I'll just watch Fast Times at Richmond High again.
Bill Wyman, former bass player of the Rolling Stones. How old do you think he is? Meanwhile, I will search out the Phoebe
Cates. I just think it was Charlie Watts. He always looked older. Bill Wyman, he's going to be about 84.
89.
Wow.
And Phoebe Cates is 62.
60. I'm still going to watch Fast Times. Because why not?
Why not?
I'm a red-blooded American man.
Oh, God. Jeez.
I'm not alone in that. Text and back me up, please. Before I get an HR violation. I'm just it's an iconic role, is all I'm saying.
All right. Well, it's a Friday. We have 2 days for nobody to think about it. There will be no meetings because it's a Friday. And by Monday, HR will forget.
And there's no beer. That's just me saying, hey,
have
nice
a great
movie.
Weekend, everybody. And hopefully you get some good outdoors with pumpkin patches and all that fun stuff.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.